have an announcement to make. I wanted to bring you up to date on where we were in the pastoral search. You can all sit down for a minute. As you know, when Pastor Daniel announced last October that he was going to relocate to Vancouver, Washington, we started a process at that time where we posted in a number of different forums the need for a pastor to come take over the church here. And I was sort of one of the fulcrums of that search. There were a number of people involved who were very active. But since, I guess, other than Kyle, I've been here the longest, it was something that was pretty significant in my life to see what direction we were going. And when we started, the process was really a mindset of, okay, God, we want to pick your guy. We want to know who you want. We want to be all about what you have for Calvary North Bay and the body here. And what we did in the process of gathering names and resumes, we got DVDs and CDs. We had links to sermons that were online. We had written materials that people submitted. And it was a process where we listened to all this, we read it all, we discussed it, we prayed about it, and we invited a number of people back. And even as late as early February, I was trying to figure out, okay, God, I've talked to a lot of terrific teachers, I've read a lot of stuff, we all have here, but I didn't really have a piece about what direction we were heading at. And after we had a visitor here, one of our guest preachers, Michael Smith, who is on staff at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa, we had lunch together, and he said something in that lunch, just sort of matter of fact, mentioning that he had friends in London who were running a church, and the three of them collaborated on direction and ministry and whatnot. And then for the first time since October, something clicked in my heart, and I knew that there was something that was happening right there. And I thought about it, and I prayed about it, and I ran the idea by a few people. And some said, it'll never work. And others said, yeah, that could be pretty cool. And then I shared it with some folks within the body. I had talked about this to other pastors all around California that I knew or had a relationship with. And then I went back to Michael and I said, what do you think about this? And he said, well, I wouldn't do it any other way. I ran it by Seth, I ran it by Ron Webb and Daniel and whatnot. And then we knew that the direction that God had in mind for us as a church was not to look for the Moses model, which is one pastor who is at the top and then has a supporting pastor and maybe an advisory committee of elders, which wouldn't necessarily fit the strict first century Christian view of what elders are. Many times churches have elders that are successful business people that are pillars in their communities and whatnot. And we thought, no, we're going to do something different because God, this is a very unique area, as you know. Ministry in Marin County is that's the spear tip as far as I'm concerned. It's a tough area to go. But out of this, just going to the bottom line, came the notion that the next step for Calvary North Bay was going to be biblical eldership. It was going to be shared eldership or team leadership. And instead of one guy, we have settled upon three. One would be Michael Smith, who's been extended an invitation to join us. Seth would be the second person. Seth's been involved here at Calvary North Bay for about 4 years. And in a few weeks, he will be formally ordained, even though he's acted in that pastoral capacity for quite some time. And then I will occupy the third position. And it is a flat organization. It's shared eldership. And I want to explain a little bit about what that means. Contrasted with the Moses model, which is what we have done in the past, and there's a strong biblical basis for this. If you look in the New Testament, there are 18 references to local church leadership. Seven of those references are clear statements where Paul is talking to the local church leadership in plural, not just one guy. And in another eight, the reference is neither singular nor plural. And if you look at biblical hermeneutics and how you interpret Bible to keep consistency one provision to another, none of those second eight are in any way inconsistent with the notion of shared leadership. which means that there were only three left where Paul spoke to a church leader in the singular. And there's nothing about those three references biblically that undercuts the notion that the biblical model of shared eldership, team leading, is anything but rock solid in terms of doctrine. So that's the direction that we feel, having prayed about this a lot and really considered what God's heart was on it, that we're going to go. And the advantages, just to tell you what sort of supported our decision on this, is that we leverage each other's strengths. Seth and Michael and I come from different backgrounds, have different points of view, but they're very complementary. And it was interesting, Seth and I didn't talk about what I was going to say today prior to his message, but a lot of what came out in his message about the Great Commission and how it's really us. It's not a pastor. It's not a church acting alone to project a vision. It's the people within. It's the community of believers. It's our family that goes forth and has each of us has an individual role to play. That's kind of where we were heading. And the advantages of three pastors who are co-equals gives us an advantage of being able to leverage our own strengths. It also balances our weaknesses. Each of us has weaknesses too, but fortunately, I don't think that all three of us have the same weaknesses, at least in the same proportion. So we get this notion that there would be shared wisdom amongst the three of us. And then significantly also being able to share the load, both in preaching and counseling and whatnot. We are not at the size where the tithes and offerings here enable us to have anybody on paid staff, which means that much like we're church in a box, the pastoral staff here is all volunteer army. So being able to share the load makes it a little easier for us to maintain full-time employment outside the church here too. Now, if the Lord would bless us with size, numbers, and whatnot to where we could put staff on paid service, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. The second to the last of the advantages that I'll mention is that there is accountability. There's no one person who can make a decision that would guide the direction of the church independent of the other two's knowledge and discussion. And we've looked a lot at how that process will work. There's sort of a variation on this apostolic model, which is the shared eldership, where there would be a first among equals, which means that in a tiebreaker situation, one person makes the decision. And where we're going with this is we want to be committed to prayer and working through the issues. So we don't want to be in a situation where the default is that one person will just make the decision when there's any disagreement. So the accountability will come in the fact that we need to be accountable to each other as a group of three, but also accountable to the body as a whole. And there won't be likely to be any, we are hoping that what comes out of this is that there will not be controversies, because if we disagree on something, we'll keep praying about it and we'll make the biblical case amongst ourselves before we make anything that would be a major step, whether that's opening a church somewhere or moving locations, or it would be all the way down to the granular level of what messages we will give, not on a one-off basis, but we expect that going forward we'll have some degree of collaboration in terms of books that we would go through, and then there would be almost a tag team approach to the pulpit. You wouldn't know necessarily who would be preaching from week to week, mainly because we don't want to be in a situation where people only want to come see one person speak but not the other, because it's not about us, it's not about who's up here in the pulpit, it's not about egos. Every single one of us has been beat up in life enough to know that there's a lot more important things than that, and the most important thing is to serve in the Lord and speak in His Word and not being caught up in the egocentrism of standing up here 3 feet higher than the rest of the room. The other issue, too, is that when you look at the number of churches, and this is not really, it's relatively, the model exists from first century Christianity, but it's not as common today as I think it's going to be, because there clearly is a trend in this direction. You see a lot of vibrant, growing churches who have this kind of leadership model, if you will, where the pastoral staff develops peer relationships amongst them, which strengthens them and gives them the ability to lean on one another in a way that isn't necessarily something you would see a lot of if there's one person who thinks that they have to be strong for the rest of the world. If there's the three of us and we're fostering our own relationships as church leaders and what the responsibilities are, we think that that will be a significant advantage as well. So going forward, this is what I think you can expect, and this is evolving too. We're developing how this is going to look a little bit more, but just the foundational aspects is absolutely we'll stay rooted in the Word. The gospel is the gospel. It's unchanging. We think it's the inspired Word of God. That's what we preach here. That's what we will continue to. It's not going to be anything less emphasized than it's been in the past. The messages will be integrated. It probably will have one-off messages on specific topics from time to time, but it may be that we decide that we're going to have a theme based on a particular epistle or go through a gospel, and then we'll just hand off as we go forward. We will be focusing a lot on the congregation, growing our own body here in strength and preparing and equipping them to do the ministry work to our community. But that ministry work won't necessarily be going out and handing out tracts or beating people on the head with the Bible. There may be a time for that, but what we really want to do is live the gospel and not just talk about it. So talk is cheap. We're going to act forward on that. Now, one of the key things that I mentioned about Michael Smith joining us, he's very excited and enthusiastic about it, but it is also a conditional acceptance. What do I mean by that? Tied in with the fact that none of us are paid here, he needs to get a job up here. He's a biologist by practice education. He has taught at the junior college and college level. He has a number of his resume out in no less than five opportunities right now, and we need to actively pray for that, because while I believe that God has laid it on my heart, and certainly Seth's and Michael's too, that this is what he has in mind for us, Michael has to support his family. And if there is no job up here, there's no way that he could make it up here. And Michael is looking at this, and I understand this and tend to agree with it, that he is looking to God's provision of a job as being confirmation that we're not all that we're not missing the point. So pray about that. If you had, and we debated whether or not we would announce this today or later on when he got a job. And at the end of the day, I thought, you know, the body is pretty resourceful here, and some of you may have contacts or know somebody who may know somebody who may know somebody that could provide an opportunity for Michael. Now, his wife also has been esthetician for 9 years. Now, as I understand that, that is someone who is especially skilled in skin care and administering facials, and she's worked for a plastic surgeon in Beverly Hills and has quite a clientele that she would be leaving behind in Southern California. But she's worked for a plastic surgeon when they lived up here in Santa Rosa and in a number of spas in Santa Rosa, Corte Madera in San Francisco. So if any of you are aware of an opportunity in that line of work, she would be most grateful for that as well. So you can, if you know anybody, you can either send me an email at the church, you can talk to me after after the service today. You could also just call me later on. But very important, pray. This is family here now. I mean, we're a small group. I believe in my heart of hearts that God has got some amazing things planned for us. Whether that means we'll double in size or quadruple in size or stay the same, we're going to impact the world somehow, somewhere. And it's going to start with us being prayerful, being accountable to each other, having a pastoral staff that's accountable to you. You're accountable to us. We're going to let the Lord show himself strong here. So that's all I had to say. Why don't we close in quick prayer, and then you can help yourself and congratulate Seth. He's he's had to put up with a lot of this. Can you imagine how uncomfortable it is to be feeling the call of the Lord on your heart and knowing that he's in the beauty pageant with everybody else? So it's clear. We've spent a lot of time with Seth. You've seen him. He's taught a lot. He's come a long way in the time that I've known him in terms of his focus and what he wants, and it's clear in my mind, and I'm sure many of yours as well, that God's got his hand on him and wants to use him. So, and I appreciate everyone here, particularly who's been supportive of me in this role. It was not, now I understand why God clearly didn't want me, why I didn't feel that God was calling me to a senior pastor spot, because it turns out it wasn't, you know, he wanted us to go to this flat model. So that's where we are. Let's bow our hearts once more.